Now, this morning, the whole morning is going to be about introducing to you a person who you will grow to love and admire as somebody who loves Jesus sacrificially and has given all to serving the Lord. So we're going to be telling you a story the whole way through. We'll have some video clips. We'll have some slides and some pictures to show you. And I'm going to be involved. There's going to be a conversation going on between Sister Padma and myself so that you can get the maximum out of this visit from her. All right? So if there is something that she says, she has a heavy Indian dialect. So if there's something that she says and you go, what was that? It really was a strange thing that she said. By all means, raise your hand and we'll see. Like if there's 50 people that raised their hand, well, then we have to go back and repeat what was just said so that we can all stay on the same page. And I will be asking her questions as well because we have shared over years and years and years. We've been together in ministry nearly 25 years. And so we've had a lot happen in these years. And she has traveled to all over the world. She's traveled to South Africa. And recently, 2 years ago, you were in Europe in, which was that country?
Ukraine.
And she's been to many different countries, but obviously they don't speak English. So we'll ask her to tell us about some of those experiences. Because really what I want you to do today, I want you to fall in love with Sister Padma. I want you to fall in love with her heart and a love for Jesus. And I want you to see in her somebody that sets a model that you could say, you know what? I don't think I could shine her shoes. But Lord, I'm going to try. If anything happens in your heart today, you'll know that you've been lifted to a new level of commitment, a new level of dedication, because God's going to get a hold of your heart. So just be ready for that. It's time. Amen? Sister Padma, let's begin. Come on up here. So we're going to give you a microphone. Can you get the microphone for me? Okay. We're going to bring you up and you're going to start now, okay? You want to greet me?
Yeah.
You did greet me already. You want to greet us?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is how we do honor a man of God in India.
All right. Aww. Now I should have had this with oil anointing. Wow. How cool is that? Before somebody preaches, they give it.
Great men of God come to a city. They're golden people.
Golden.
So it's a golden shawl.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much. God bless you. You want somebody to help you with your notes?
Yes.
Andrew? Okay. All right. I'm going to go to the back there so I can be involved with the controlling pictures. Okay. Thank you so much for the golden. Appreciate it so much. Thank you. Superhero. There's some pictures first.
Yes.
You want of some slides? Okay, so we'll start with the slides. There's our children. How many children we have now, sister?
60.
60.
Yeah.
Okay, we used to have a lot more than that.
Yes, yes.
What happened? How come it went down?
And a particular church used to sponsor me. Suddenly their vision changed, so I couldn't manage. But anyway, these children are really loved by me.
Uh-huh.
From the bottom of my heart, I love them. God is their father.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Mother.
Amen.
And he's a father to the fatherless.
Thank you, Lord. How many years have you had the orphanage?
43 years.
23. How many children have come through the orphanage?
Really, 43 years. 43.
I
raised nearly 1,000 kids. Yeah.
What do they call you?
Mommy.
Mommy. Now, when they finish the orphanage, where do they go?
I'll get them married.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Yes, I have grandchildren, 16 grandchildren.
And do they go to college?
They go to college and study, become MBA, and got married to pastors and engineers and also doctors.
So they go to Bible college?
Yeah, some of them did Bible college.
And how many are now gone into ministry?
And now, my Bible college students, they went all over India planting churches.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. From my children for ministry, every one of them are part of the church doing ministry in the church.
All of them?
Yeah. Every one of them are a part of the church.
I trained them. Over 1,000.
To be a pillar in the church.
And how many churches have started from your orphanage?
Nearly 300 churches all over India we have. With the Bible school students as well as with from my children.
All from the children?
Yeah.
Anytime you want to clap would be a good time. Now, this is a picture of what?
Widows meeting.
Widows?
Yeah.
How many widows are there?
Nearly 2,000 come for the conference. Usually in South India, some of them won't marry again because of the community. They live with the father-in-law, mother-in-law. They have to stay with the children in the family so that they can have the property of the last husband. So they'll stay as a widow. But the power of God is so much when I have the widows meeting. Because he's husband to the widows. He comes with a special love among them, fill them with the love of God. I made them as intercessory prayer warriors.
Nice.
They are praying for my ministry. God nice. Hears their prayer.
Now they're all sitting on the floor. They have no chairs.
Yeah, it's a large crowd, so sitting in the floor, worshiping the Lord.
Nice.
I gave them a sari like this, and I gave them biryani. That biryani is rice and chicken, mixed meal for them.
You fed all 2,000?
Yeah.
You gave
when
them
they
have
a conference, I gave
and
them
you gave
food.
Each one of them a sari like you wear.
Yes, what I wear like this.
How much did you charge them to come to the convention?
Pardon?
How much did you charge them to come?
Everything free.
Everything's free?
Yeah. Freely I receive, freely I give. No charge.
What happens to a lady in India when her husband dies? How does the community treat them?
Actually, in India, it's very dangerous. In the ancient time, when the husband dies, they will throw her with the husband when they are burning the body. It's called sadi. William Carey, a missionary, came to India and abolished the law of sadi. You can read in Indian history, they throw the lady with the husband funeral fire. So even now, when he sees a widow, a lot of limitations. So when she come out, as a Hindu, if she come out of the house, people won't see her face. In the wedding, they won't want her to come inside the wedding and the bride and the bridegroom because they believe widowhood is a curse.
Wow.
That's what they believe. But I redeem all those ladies from the curse.
You redeemed
I told them,
the
you're no more a widow. You're married to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You have a husband.
So other than the orphanage that you've got going, plus the widow's ministry, you have other ministries. You have crusades. You do a crusades.
Yeah. Harvest is plenteous, laborers of you. We got a lot of teachers, evangelists, pastors, bishops. But I want laborers. Who are these laborers? They'll go to a little village and soil the hands with the people of this earth. They never heard the gospel, not even once. First time they're hearing the gospel. They worship 333 million gods. A donkey or a monkey or a snake or anything you can read, anything you can call.
Donkeys and monkeys and snakes.
Yeah, even and elephant.
Elephant. Now, they're worshiping these gods. Do these spirit from these things jump inside them?
You know, I really appreciate them because they're seeking for God.
Mm-hmm.
So anything they see on the road, they'll worship.
Mm.
A stone or a tree, they worship. They're worshippers.
Mm.
They're sincerely wrong. They're so sincere in their worship, but sincerely wrong. You know, they are so true devotees. They get up in the morning, 4 o'clock, give a bath to their God. It's a stone, okay? They tie a cloth around them. They carry their God. So their God sleeps. In India, all the gods sleep. Yeah, the devotees must go and wake their God up. Think about our God. Never sleep or slumber.
Wow.
He wakes you up in the morning. As pastor praying, 4:30 in the morning. He woke him up. God woke him up. Because God gives grace early in the morning. So these people are so sincere.
Tell us about the Hindus, what they do to try and get their sins forgiven as we prepare for the video.
They are sin-conscious people. I really feel sympathy for them. They have a doctrine called doctrine of karma. If you commit sin in this life, you must born again and again and again, like a cat or a dog or a ant or a snake or anything you can think about, and pay a penalty for your sin. So what they do, they don't want to go and believe that doctrine, go again to be rebirth. So they won't be free from the rebirth. So they pierce their tongue with needle, 40 days. I saw them. Pastor also knows that.
Yeah, from South Africa.
Yeah, they pierce the needle in their
tongue. That is your son. They're working with you that in the picture? That's
yeah,
your son?
Yeah, it's my son, pastor. He's pastoring a church in Chennai.
And your daughter, too. We're going to hear a story about her. There she is now. She has a doctorate degree from
Regent University.
Regent University. And we'll hear a little more about her in a minute. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Continue.
So they walk on barefoot, 4,000 kilometers. They roll in the ground. They could coals of fire and walk under fire. And they pierce their body. They pull a cart with the hooks in the back. They slash their body. They break coconut in their head. Why? They want to punish their body for their salvation. But for you, my friend, where you are right now, if you say a three-letter prayer, God, mercy on me, you are saved. But you cannot keep the Jesus selfishly. You must share with these hungry million people.
Yes, amen.
We have billion people, over billion people. These are my kids right now in my home.
And that's part of the widow's ministry that you've spoken about already. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans. She does, and the widows, and the poor. And we have some more pictures here of you doing feeding the poor.
And just now we have flood in India, especially my city. Just like Noah's time, 14 days continuous rain. People lost their homes. They are living in cardboard houses, coconut leaf houses.
Can I interrupt you just a moment? The television ministry has just come up. You're on television in India?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in television.
How many people are watching?
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people watch me in the television.
Every week?
Yeah. You know what they told me? You can't come to the television with a white sari. You put some dark color sari, come to television ministry. I said, no, this is the white sari I will wear. No more costume, nothing. Cosmetic, nothing. No lipstick, no. But you know, until something, the word is so powerful. People are not watching my face, they're watching the word I speak.
Yes, amen.
I have 300 emails and thousands of phone calls. I got 6 telephones, it will ring all the time. Yeah.
And you're also doing street evangelism as
yes.
well. I see you going
see,
on the street.
The people are not coming to the church. You must go to the street.
Yeah.
There is a revival in the marketplace. God told them to go into the street and preach my gospel. That's the last commandment. Go into all over the world, preach my gospel.
Uh-huh.
Set the captives free and heal the brokenhearted people. Change the sorrows into joy. Change the mourning into dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make the change. You can give them shame. For shame, you can give them a double honor. I'll go to the street and take my Bible. I have some paste and toothbrush. I give them free distribution. Here they are. And I sing and preach.
Now, this is some more of your crusades.
This church. This is a church crusade.
This is a church crusade.
Yeah, I hired the church from a pastor.
You rented the church?
Yeah, but he gave me free.
That's good. That's good.
Everywhere the favor of God, everything is free. And I give free.
There's a huge crowd. Lots of people getting saved there.
Pardon?
There's a lot of people getting saved. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Thousands.
See all these people.
Stop the video.
I pray really 2,000 people a night. My hand will pain.
Now tell me about this crowd here that come out of the crusade.
This is a follow-up book. They're tribals. That means they're new.
Explain what tribal is.
Yeah. They are a people's group invented by governments living in the jungle. They are called tribals. So you can see them now. They pierce their nose and the ears, and you can see them all over. And I called, after the crusade, they are saved. So I called them next day morning, talk to them about baptism.
So this is a follow-up meeting with all the converts.
Yeah. Bible says, repent and be baptized. So some people talk about only repentance. I won't talk about baptism.
So this is for water baptism. That group is for water baptism. Yeah. That's amazing.
And a lot of people take baptism.
That looks like a big crowd. How many people are coming?
10,000. See, these are the people hearing the gospel first time. 300 kilometers, there is no church. I go into the jungle. No transport. They walk. They bring their own flour, make a roti, and they burn it and eat in the same ground. And they sleep next day morning meeting.
On the floor. They sleep on the ground.
This is South Africa.
Yeah.
I went to South Africa, Pastor know very well, so much of crime. People are living inside electric fences. Yeah, they take a gun anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, danger, very dangerous. It's like one of the crime, worst country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to that country, I saw that the coldness and deadness in churches. It's not fire. So I told them, this is time to come. I called the pastors, come, let's pray. Because the Bible says, my people who are called after my name, if they humble themselves and turn from the wicked ways and seek the face of God, you'll be healing to the land.
So you hired a stadium for the church.
See, all these are unnecessary prayer warriors, 12,000.
And you call people to pray?
Yeah,
12 hours. 12,
morning, 8, evening. And you know South Africa? They eat a lot of variety of food. I told them no food. Right through the campus, no food, only water, a bottle of water. From morning 8 until night 8, all those people prayed. Crying to God.
Mm.
Crying to God. Now I'll tell you something. There's a revival in Durban.
Revival.
Yeah, now I'm going to Joburg. Within 3 months, I'll go to Joburg.
It's Johannesburg for those who don't know.
Johannesburg. And because the crime rate is so high, I found a place. I'm calling 6,000 people to pray 12 hours. Like, you know why 12 hours? When they get into the habit of praying, they never leave.
Amen. Amen. That's the promise.
So
people.
One day you pin them down to pray, they never leave. You know, habit?
Now, this is a pastor's meeting you're having right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the pastors in South Africa.
I want just only 1 minute. Habit, H-A-B-I-T. Take H out, A bit will be there. Take A out, bit is there. Take B out, it is there. Let the prayer be a habit.
Habit, habit. Yeah. Oh, good, good. All right, move on.
Yeah, pastor's meeting and ladies' meeting.
A little bit. There, stop there by the flood. This is the
flood. I told you the 14 days rain in Chennai. The whole city underwater.
And the fish came to your door.
Yeah. See, look at that. I was sitting in the house. I said, Lord, there's no road to go. And God told me, like, Medhaka, if we don't go, somebody will do the job. There's a time. Yes, true, my friend. The Islamic people are distributing. Hindus are distributing. Because they believe in work. If we give the poor people food, they can go to heaven. That's what they believe. So God told me to get out of the house. I went distributing blankets and saris and rice and medical camp. Because I can tell them about Jesus. I preached to them first. Then I gave them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even now I get back home. That's what I'm going to do for 10 days. I'll do the work. Because I have a lot of food at home. Also different kind of food. Rice, blankets. So, like, sari, I got some from South Africa, so I'm going to distribute.
And then God sent a fish to your door. Tell them about that one.
See, when the heavy rain, you know, children, I will give them fish, they like fish. But the children said, we want fish, but we can't go out. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, an 8-kilo big fish came, knocked at the door.
In the water.
The same water.
The big fish, and I caught it.
My watchman, we have a watchman, he caught the fish. We made it into pieces and fried it. That
nice
day.
Fried fish, fresh fish.
Yeah, my God will supply my need.
So now you're feeding the people in the flood. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And this is part of the feeding?
Yeah.
And then
I give them brush, paste, and sanitary.
And also medical supplies.
Yeah, medical supplies too. And rice.
And Sister Padma, where do you get the money from to do all this?
My God supplies my need. That's all I can say. Because I don't know how. They are bringing and leaving it in my room and going in my house. And my house was like a mall. Yeah. The companies, they know, see all the plastic plates for them to eat food, plates and the cups, see cooked food. I go. See, I do it myself. I like personal involvement. I can give a lot of volunteers I have, but I want to do it myself. This is a rice, medical camp and the rice distribution.
All those pink are full of rice.
Yes, Pastor. 6,000 kilos. All these 500 people I gave. I got a good doctor's team came there and gave them pressure checkup and diabetic people, all the checkup. They gave free medication too. This is one of the festival in Andaman Island. A small island near India. Last time when the tsunami struck that area, nearly 9,000 people died. So I want to give them the gospel. So I had a lorry and go
there. So this is how you got the people to come to the crusade?
Yeah, we have a rally. My two-wheeler go in a lorry singing and I preach in the street.
And we'll see some of it now. See all those scooters. How many scooters were there?
120.
120
yeah,
scooters.
Yeah, I made 200 t-shirt. Jesus is Lord.
And you just fast forward a little bit, we'll see the scooters going out through the city. There we are. And this convoy goes through and they're preaching now. Go ahead and turn up the volume for me. Playing music, preaching from the back of the truck.
By seeing street witness, they came to my meeting and they gave the heart to the Lord.
All right, we can go ahead and stop the video. Now, Sister Padma, recently you went to Europe. Tell us about what happened there.
Russia?
Where you went to the 6,000 people church.
Russia? Russia or South Africa?
Yeah, the one where they were holding the Bibles, because they just recently got it, they were holding it on their chest.
Yeah, Ukraine.
Ukraine.
I like Ukraine. You know, I have a connection from a sister in Christ for the Nation, and she connected me with a pastor in Ukraine, and God gave me the courage to go there, and I took a plane from Bombay, Aeroflot. And I told them, a lady will come, will wrapped up in white cloth. That's identification I gave in my email. When I landed in Russia, there was some political strike. The nun in the airport. I was crying because I must catch the plane within 20 minutes. I couldn't see anybody in the airport. So it's a very big miracle. Somebody came to me and they grabbed my bag. I said, give me my Bible and the passport. I took the passport and the Bible. And he couldn't talk to me. He showed sign. I followed him. He went just near the Ukraine plane and he disappeared.
He walked you through the airport all the way to the plane.
All the way to the airport. There's a small plane. He took me near the plane and he gave me the bag. I looked back to thank him. He was not there. I took the plane, went to Ukraine. I landed there and I saw a lot of people standing over there. I thought they may come to receive a political leader. I was standing near the restroom because I'm so scared to go. A police came to me and said, "You are Padma?" I said, "Yes, all these people are waiting for you." They are with the red rose and yellow rose and white rose. When I went there, 6,000 people are waiting for me. You know the meeting? Morning, evening, night, 6,000 people. And after 10 o'clock, they'll ask me question until morning 2 o'clock.
This was one meeting, start of the morning. One meeting, they didn't go home.
You know, they're hearing the gospel very first time, I think, because they got the Bible only a few years back. My translator is not a Christian, he's an atheist. I hired him from the college, paid him $30 per hour. I made him sit down and listen to me, what I'm going to say. He was translating for me. I'm telling the truth. Second day meeting, he was down on the floor. I said, "Take more, take more, take more, take more." And he accepted Jesus Christ.
Oh, lovely.
And I'm telling everything truth. I have video to prove to that. One sermon, 300 people accepted their life to take baptism. You know, climate, minus 20.
The river was so cold.
The river frozen.
Minus
20. They broke the ice river and took baptism.
300 people got baptized.
I say before God, I saw they are breaking the ice. Then I gave one call. 700 people gave their life for full-time ministry. I have a video. Full-time ministry. You know, they are doing work with a company, uranium company. When they became Christian, they said they won't work with, because they make warplane. So they said, "We won't work. We are Christian. We don't work in the company with the uranium." So they became Christian. And they have a garden kitchen where they plant potato and cherry. That's all the food. Three times potato and cherry fruit. That's all they have.
They're very poor people.
Yeah. Three times I ate potato. I can't eat too
every
much.
Every day.
Every day.
Three times a day. Potato,
yeah, I stay
10 potato.
Days. Yeah. If they give you fish, it's from the river, but they're not cooked.
Raw fish.
Yeah. I had this meal in Ukraine. And I it's a true story. I took 8 sari. I came back with 1 sari because they cut my sari into pieces and kept it in their home because they believe there's power in my sari. Overnight, I became Ben Hin. In Ukraine.
Benny Hinn, you came Benny Hinn overnight.
You know why? You know why? Their faith. Their faith. Their faith. They believed God.
And there were healings.
Yeah. Broken arms, they will stretch forth like this. And beachhead, they walk out. And you can see people under the anointing, shouting, crying, rolling in the ground. You must see them. So powerful. Anybody want to go, I want you to come to India as well as go to Ukraine.
Now, Sister Padma, tell us how this all started. Go back and tell us about you, how this all started.
I was born in Hindu family. In Hinduism, you can see two different groups. One, they worship Rama, Shiva, all kind of gods. Another one worships Satan. My grandfather was a Satan worshipper, Satan Koil. He built a temple for Satan. And they taught me when a small girl to dance. That is a Bharatanatyam, Indian classical dance. I was a good dancer. They taught me Indian classical music, Carnatic. I learned. And by God, predestined for me, prepared a Catholic school. The Catholic school, they taught me about hell and heaven. They said, hell is a horrible place. Where worm die not, where fire quench not. But heaven is a wonderful place. You can see angels and beautiful flowers and a golden home. I want to go to heaven. I told the Catholic nun what I must do to go to heaven. She said, you must accept Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ? My family will kill me. They said like this, we are born Hindu, we must die as a Hindu. No change. They said, this Hindu God, the Christian God is a foreign God. We have Indian God. So I couldn't follow Jesus, but it was there, a voice in my heart. If I die, where I'll go? Hell or heaven? Hell or heaven? It was there bothering me so much. So I told my friends I want to go to heaven. My friend said like this, heaven is a grandma story. Oh, we must watch movie, we must dance, and we must read storybook, we must study, good in sports. I was good in sports, good in study, good in everything, acting, everything. But there is a voice in me, if I die, where I'll spend my eternity? My father was a good man, he's an engineer. And he followed Gandhijian principle, never speak lies. And one day he died a heart attack. That's the day I found out when somebody dies, they'll bury him. So I went to Catholic and after 3 days, tell me what happened to my father. She said again, your father is in hell, burning in hell. I said, excuse me, my father was a good man. You think good people go to hell? She said, without Jesus, there is no heaven. I lost all my happiness. I used to cry. My father went to hell. I'm going to hell. My friends told me, don't worry about all that. Enjoy life. You're a young girl. Enjoy life. While I was crying, one day one lady said, come, I'll take you for a movie. You know, India, Bollywood, they produce 400 films a week in Bombay. So they said, come, watch a movie. So took me. She called me to come to the movie, but took me to church. I said, can I watch a movie in the church? She said, come on. It's a very sad story. Sit down and watch. You know, India people like to cry, you know. So she said, watch. Watch this. So that day I saw the film Like Passion, King of Kings. When I saw Jesus died on the cross, I started crying. I don't know why I was crying. I was crying, crying, crying. God is working in me. And the pastor gave a call, altar call. He said like this, my young sister, you want to go to heaven? Come. Cross is the way. I know I'm the one thinking about heaven. I ran back home. I thought this man is calling me. But next day, I was constrained by the Spirit, by the love of God. I came to the meeting not to watch a movie, but to see God. And the pastor preached a small sermon. I am the way and the life. If any man come in, he can find salvation, solution, and satisfaction. He have a call again. I said, here I am. Crying, crying, crying. I ran back home. My mother called me, from where you're coming? I said, I'm coming from Calvary. My mother doesn't know anything about Calvary. Then I started to read the Bible. Then the problem started. They said, no, you cannot do that. My grandfather gave me good hiding, locked me up in the storeroom where you have coconut. And they thought I'm crazy. And they brought witchcraft people to change my mind. But Christ was real, my friend. They couldn't change me. They gave me a lot of problem, lot of being through a lot of pain. But my friend, it's worth it all. Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. I'm so happy my sins are forgiven. I know if I die, go, heaven is my home. That is more than enough for me. So I've been through all the situation. Then God opened the door. He never tested me beyond my ability to bear. He opened the door for me. Left my home to study in a college. My subject was zoology, about animals. I studied about animals, but God taught me theology. Every day, lunch hour, I don't take lunch. I'll go under a tree and pray to God. Every day, I'll pray to God. I never went to a church. I pray to God and read my Bible. And God speak to me through the Bible and I pray to God. When I'm studying final year BSc, when I was praying to God, I heard audible voice. I died for you. What you gonna do for me? I died for you. What you gonna do for me? I said, here I am, Lord. Take my life. My body, soul, and spirit belong to you. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where. Here I am. I surrendered my life to you. God heard that prayer. I'm finishing my school. I came back home. They're preparing for my wedding. You know, there's no love marriage, you know. It's arranged marriage. I know they'll arrange marriage for me with a Hindu man. You know, they bought a lot of jewelry. In India, they put a lot of jewelry. Especially, my family belonged to high caste. We have caste system in India. So they brought a lot of jewelry. Because they, when he arranged a marriage with a boy, they must give money. It's called dowry system. They got a lot of jewelry, a lot of patta sari, silk saris, everything ready. My grandfather called me. Now, we arrange your marriage. Everything ready. I said, no. I don't want marriage. They got so angry with me. My father wrote property in my name. I got a lot of jewelry. And they're so angry. Said, give back everything. I gave my property back. I gave my jewelry back. Take the whole world. Give me Jesus. Take the whole world. Give me Jesus.
Come on, thank you, Lord.
Everything. They gave me a lot of persecution. Hit me until I bleed. They did everything to me. But happy. I was so happy. Consider it a joy when I encountered with many trials. It was a joy for me, happiness for me. Then, her story is very interesting. My husband was born in South Africa. He was a Hindu. He walked on fire. He pierced his tongue with needle for a healing of his mother. But his mother died. He always say like this. My God, I'm worshipping, is dead as my cold, dead body of my mother. And he said, no more God. He became atheist. In South Africa, he had a good money. Rich man, got a good car, house, everything. One day, he lost all happiness. He wanted to commit suicide. In Marisburg, a city called Marisburg, he was walking the church street. There was a small church called Obedidom. Pastor Roland's great missionary was preaching. He walked into the church, sat in the last bench, what we call sinner's bench, not here, okay? We call sinner's bench. He was gnashing his teeth. What this man can give to me? We have 333 million gods. You know what the pastor did? Young man, come. God is calling you. You're going to eternity. Where fire is waiting for you. Why can't you offer your life to Jesus? And he told him to come. When he came to the pulpit, he shook like a leaf because he was under the power of God. And God spoke to him, I have chosen you. You are mine. And he gave his life to God. And he'd been through a lot of persecution like me. They hit him. They poisoned his food. They chased him out of the home. And they told him, you're a low caste, don't come home. But my friend, he was so sincere. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Mm. It's the power of God and the salvation. Mm. There's power in the gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he went to work and earned a lot of money. And he gave all the money to church. One day God told him, I don't want your money, I want you. He said, God, any amount of money you want, I'll work overnight and give to you. God said, don't want your money, I want you. Go to India. Save my people. And I said, Lord, I do not know. I know only English. 300 major languages in India. What I can give to Indian people? God said, go, I will be with you. And obedient the call of God, he took suit and accordion and he went to India.
Piano
Bombay.
To play music on. Piano accordion.
Pardon?
The piano accordion.
Yeah, piano accordion. He's a good singer. And he landed in Bombay. He saw teeming million people, different language, like a Tower of Babel. You couldn't understand anything. And he went there, standing in the street, he saw the snake charmers. We got snake show in India. They play a Magadhi tune, the snake will dance. So when he saw that, he said, God, even a snake charmer has some audience. I have no people. And God said, play the tune. And he played the same tune in his accordion. And the people left that snake and came to see where his snake was. But he had a Christian handbill. And like that, he started his ministry. He came to my city, learned my language. He's the first one to do a Christian record.
Christian record?
Record, yeah. LP record. He made many LP records. In Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, all language, he did records. And you know, when you're singing, thousands and thousands of people will come. I'm telling you. People sit on the top of the tree. They sit on top of the bus. They'll come to the meeting. Firewalker finds Christ. That was the title. Then one of those meetings, I went to that meeting. Sitting right somewhere hiding. And he took the accordion and sang a song. He said, my young brother, my young sister, when you go down to the pit, what is the profit of your blood? Why can't you shed that blood for the man of Calvary? And he gave a call for full-time ministry. I raised my hand. But I never thought I'll end up in his kitchen.
End up in his kitchen?
Yeah. I never thought. You know, my husband was a missionary in India doing a good work. You don't want to get married. You want to be like Pastor Rowlands, to be single. But there is a law in the land. All the missionaries must leave. But he wanted to stay in India. So he went to my pastor and asked him what I must do to stay in India. He said, marry an Indian girl. You can stay in India. For that purpose, they are arranging marriage for him. But any girl asking for marriage, you'll say like this, footless, homeless, sleepless life.
That's all I can offer. Say that again. Well, this is the offer he's making.
Yeah, that's the offer he can give to the girl. Footless, homeless, sleepless life. That's what he'll say. You know, who will marry him? When the offer came to me, I said, here I am. Footless, homeless, sleepless. But my family must say yes to that, you know. I was praying to God. Marriage never entered my brain, but I want to be in a crusade every day. My husband is preaching a crusade every day. I want to be with him, a man like that. You know, God changed my mother's heart. And next problem, my husband said no jewelry. No, in India, my Pentecostals don't put jewelry. So my mother don't allow that. How can you marry without jewelry? And how can you marry with white sari? No, I won't allow my daughter wear a white sari and put without jewelry a marriage. But again, I accepted that. No, my Bible is $1. My sari maybe $1. That's all my husband gave. What a joy it is, you know. On my wedding day, I'm speaking in tongues. You can see with the wedding going on, I'm speaking in tongues filled by the Holy Spirit. Very next day, we lived in a vehicle. That's all we have. We go roadside cooking, roadside eating, sleeping in the roadside, and traveling. My husband is a man of faith, wonderful man of faith. There are times he drives 1,000 kilometers, stuck on the road, no gas. He'll pour water. And he say, God change what wine, water to wine. He can change water to petrol. Yeah. True story I'm telling you. No lie in this. We drive through and go in a little village. He will sing and preach and I translate. Like that 12 years we did the ministry as a team. I play lead guitar. You sing. Like that we did the ministry together. And two children were born. And in the end, God wanted to take him home. I was 31 years old. And he called me by the bedside and said, I got nothing to give you. I'm a missionary. Two children, two Bible. Never gave up. And he died. On the fourth day of my husband's funeral, God speak to me. My daughter, you want to leave me and go or you will follow me? I said, no. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. I will follow you.
Come on.
I follow you. My husband is supposed to preach in a big crusade. And they called me to preach. I was a translator. I don't know how to preach. But they called me to preach. I said a small prayer. Lord, let me make a deal with you. When I'm preaching for the first time, you must give me 1,000 souls. I wrote down the sermon. I went to the pulpit to read like this. But I started to cry. And wiped everything. God filled me with the Holy Spirit. I spoke for 20 minutes and I gave a call. 5,000 people stood up.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
That's the first day. That's the first day. Here I am now, 42 countries traveling. Even now I'm going to Nigeria.
Who was taking care of your children when you were preaching?
Pardon?
Where were your children when you were preaching?
Yeah, we had people to look after them. Like you were leaving the church, you know, like that. When you go, there are real good people to look after them. But they miss me. But they know my call.
And they put them by your feet.
Pardon?
The children was by your feet.
Yeah. Sleep with me. Like the puppy dog, you know, like money. My children are like money. Around me all the time. Yeah. So, I wanted to share about my ministry, about the risk I had taken. Dangerous. I live dangerously for God. I want to talk about how I live dangerously for God. I went to Rwanda. When I told God, I love you so much, take me to the worst country in the world. God took me to Rwanda. Worst genocide. 100,000 people killed each other and drank the blood.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I saw 40,000 skulls. You put in the Google search Rwanda, you'll find everything. God told me to go there. You know, I sent my son first, make the arrangements. He was there he checked in a hotel and he called me and said, I cannot come out of the room. Chain, blade, people are hitting each other. I said, you be there. The Lord who called us will direct us. 4 o'clock, somebody knocked at the door. By mistake, it was a pastor. And he told him about all what you want to do. And that pastor, the one who organized that meeting. My friend, I spent a lot of money on that meeting. But I saw souls. I see the blackhead packed like a coconut. Stadium full. Yeah. I can see as far as I could see. You know, there are times I cried to God, give me one soul. Then I said, 10 souls. Then I said, God, 100 souls. Then I said, 1,000 souls. God laughed at me and said, you know, how I'm going to give you? Like the sand of the ocean. I will see your souls as the sand of the ocean and the stars of the sky. Now I see people like the sand of the ocean. If you are faithful in little things, God will make you master over many things. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them out of them all. I want to testify about the deliverance God gave me. I was flying one day, Africa to Bombay. Middle of the night, 0 hour, the plane was technical error. It's going up and down, up and down, up and down. I have my phone not charged. I off in my bag. Suddenly, I see a vibration in my bag. I took the bag, cell phone. It says, fear not, I am with you. Sender unknown, sender unknown, sender unknown. 30,000 feet above the sea level, no cell tower, and God sent me SMS in my phone. Definitely sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely sure. You know why? After 1 hour, the pilot said, everybody cool down, we'll reach Bombay safely. I asked God, what's the matter? God said, send an angel to repair your plane. I sent an angel to repair your plane. This is my experience. You believe or believe not, it will be experienced. I go to North India, there's no Christian at all, Hindu place. One of my crusade, I have 8,000 people. After the crusade, I came into my room, I saw a lot of people around my hotel. I thought they are coming for counseling, for baptism. Meantime, they are negotiating with my coordinator, if this lady is not going to give us like 400,000 rupees, like $20,000. They are going to kill her and kidnap her. Then my coordinator was negotiating with him, say, you have no money, only a boarding pass. They won't let her go. He converted all our people. She must pay money. My friend, the coordinator, without telling me, escaped for his life. He went away. I was there in the roof. That's the day I know what is Isle of Gladness. I was like a person drunk. Drunk with the wine of the Holy Spirit. In my room, I'm dancing and singing and praising God. I don't know why. 4 o'clock, there's a knock at my door. A person came into my room and said, please come with me. Your life is in danger. Morning, they will kill you. You come with me. I don't know who that person is. How will I go with that person? I have a clear voice in my heart, go with this person. I bundle up all my clothes and I put in a three-wheeler and took me round and round and round. I said, where are you taking me? Because the person said, the driver should not know where you're going. So then he took me to a little hut, opened the door, there was a pastor. He said, why you came here? They'll kill me. So he left me in the room and put a big lock outside and went away. They are sending messages, we won't let you go, in my cell, won't let you go, we'll catch you in the airport, catch you in the airport, catch you in the airport. But my friend, I was cool in my heart. No fear. Holy boldness came upon me. I'm praising God. I didn't call my son. If I call my son, he called the police from Delhi to Kanyakumari. I didn't call my son. That's the day I understood how Paul was kept in a basket. Lay down. Then my flight, 5 o'clock, 3:30, there's a car. The person said, come on, we'll take you to the airport. And they dropped me near the airport, told me to run. I said, I won't run. I know I have bodyguard from heaven. I have bodyguards from heaven. Do you know, my friend, in front of my kidnappers, I walked boldly. God blinded the eyes. It's a true story. And I reached my destination. God saved my life. There are many, one whole day I can talk about my experience.
Sister Padma, tell us about the problems right now in India with the government and preaching and the children.
They say America for Christian, Arabia for Islamic people, India for Hindus. That's what they are claiming. For India for Hindus. They want to build Rama temple. They want to build. Then they have a law, anti-conversion law. You cannot convert a person. They're not.
You can't convert them from Hindu to Christian.
You cannot convert them in India. You cannot say, will you accept Jesus? Will you accept Jesus? You cannot ask them. They'll go and report the police. Even sometime, no, they come like a spy. They'll ask us, what do you think about Ganesh God, elephant God? We are so excited. We say, can an elephant speak to you? They'll record it in the cell phone and give to the police. So there are many saints of God there. Lot of persecution, they hit them and broken the churches, burned the churches, burned the believers so much. In my home, I brought the children from small. I teach them the word every day, 5 o'clock, even a 4-year-old baby will be with me in prayer. They enjoy that, 1 hour prayer. Before going to school, 20 minutes they read the Bible. Because I tell them, if they read the word and meditate the word, everything what you do will prosper. They are first in the class. They get all, all the progress card, great, they take. So, suddenly they brought a law. They gave the children a number, 1068. If this person, this your director or a superintendent, your mom, force you to pray or punish you because you are reading the word or not following Christianity, call us. Then they put a box, a complaint box. They took they locked in and took the lock. And if anything happens like this, you put a letter in that.
Well, just explain that again. They came to the children, gave them a telephone number, and they said, if anybody tries to make you pray, you call us.
Call us. They gave the number.
And there's a box here. If anything happens, you can write a letter and put it in the box, and we've got the key.
Suppose I use the rod for not praying or reading the word or living the life. Now, they will write a letter and put in the box. They'll come and every month they'll come. Now, there's another one. They want a psychologist stay with us. From them, from the government with us. Now already in case one lady will be here in her home. They say you'll go and ask the children. Children are children, no? They are from the street. They don't know. Sometimes they are very good. But it takes time to train them. They are good worshippers, good children, study nicely. But if these people bribe them, no, they may say something against. Already one pastor is in trouble. One pastor took the babies and he brought them up. Now they are 22 years old. What he did, when they finished schooling, he put them all in the Bible school.
These are orphans. He took them orphans, children. He raised them till they're 22 years old, went them through Bible college. This is his children.
His children.
His children.
You brought them up. You put them in the Bible college. You want to get them married to pastors. So now the government found out and they came and the, like a spy came to the children and said, oh, if this pastor, if you don't look after you, put you in the street, what you will do? They said, we believe on the Lord. You look after us. Now it is in the case paper. He mind was the children to say about Jesus. Now they are running the home under government protection. They can't go to church. They can't go to the Bible college.
So they took over the home.
The
courts took it over. They took the children away, put them under protection because of the raising as a Christian.
The CBI, Central Bureau Investigation, investigating about this pastor. And he's now in Germany. He don't want to come because they will take him for.
Had to run for his life.
Yeah, and not only that, they say the police custody means they put some machine to find out from the brain. They put some electric power in the brain to find out. You know, so dangerous that is. Someday they torture them to say what they say. So a lot of things are happening like that. But, you know, I want to tell you something. God is in control.
So what you're telling me, Sister Padma, it is illegal to preach on the street and to do conversion.
Yeah.
And it's even...
See, India is evangelized by many missionaries from foreign countries. Even Sigan Paul, who translated my Bible, is a German. William Carey and Mother Teresa, all are foreigners. But now a law in this country, the foreigners cannot preach.
Cannot preach.
Yeah. Because when they give the visa, they'll ask you whether you're involved in religious activity. So there are times like this, when everything we do is... Now we are in a locality where we know the police, we know the political leaders, where they will help us.
Sister Padma, what message do you have for us as a body? What message? Talk to us now. Just tell us what you have in your heart for us.
This is the word God has given to me. I'm talking about Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 20. I read for you. If you have a Bible, you can read with me. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. People are looking for method and money and all those things, project and plans, but God is seeking for a man. But the sad story, the Bible says, God can't find a man. I said, God, if you can't find a man, you can find a woman. Seeking for one man. You know, is Adonai, El Shaddai, El Elyon, mighty God, who can divide the Red Sea. He can stop the sun. He can bring down the giant by a stone. He can change the 5 loaves and 2 fish of food for 5,000 people. He can change the water to wine. He can open the grave. But God needs a man. In every generation, God is looking for one man. One man with God is majority. One Abraham, one Moses, one Elijah, one Daniel, one Esther. God, really, God speaking to you. I saw this church. The Shekinah glory filled this place. God not only filled the place, he fills the people. Overflowing, greater level. Where will cry and say like Paul, what do you want me to do for you, O God? Many churches, people ask, what you can do for me, O God? They always say, people come to church for 5 things. Number one, marriage, husband and wife. Number two, 2 children, a boy and a girl. Number three, 3-bedroom house. Number four, 4-wheeler. Number five, 5-figure salary. That's what people are asking God for. But there are a group of people, sanctified, blood-washed people, separated people, royal priesthood, God's own people, say, what I can do for you, God? God needs a person who will say, here I am. God needs a man to stand in the gap. The future of this nation will not be determined by the politicians. The future of the nation will not be determined in the White House. The future of this nation will be determined here by God's people, my people. God always have a group of people. They will tell the truth. They have a holy boldness. Never fear. We fear man, you cease to be a servant of God. You please people, you cease to be a servant of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, receive power. We go for that dictionary, dunamis. Power to be a witness. Needed martyrdom? Must say yes. Yes. God is seeking for a one man to stand in the gap. Why? Why? The Bible says, number 26, the priest violated the law. They never made difference between holy and unholy. We got 330 million God, Jainism, Sikhism, Buddhism, Islam. But no God said you must be holy. Only one God said holy, because I am holy. Without holiness, no man will see God. The priest must show the difference between holy and unholy. The prophets have duped them with untempered water, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. You can see everywhere. Everywhere. Heart is wicked, my friend, not only in India, every nation. The Bible says, color may differ, costume may differ, foot may differ, heart is same. They are a false prophet, one of the signs of the last days. They will prophesy things, but God has not prophesied to them. Then the people, they are oppression, exercise robbery, waste the poor, such a time like this. Prophet, priest, and people. God says, among them, I'm seeking for a man. Are you the man? Are you the woman? You can stop the anger of God. You can stop the anger of God. One man with God is the majority. Now we come to 14th chapter. 14th chapter, Ezekiel. Verse 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transpass grievously, will I stretch my hand upon it and will break the staff of bread. I'll send famine. Verse 15, I'll send noisome beast. Number 17, I'll bring sword. Number 19, I send pestilence. If a nation trespass against God, God will send judgment. People don't believe in judgment. But I want to tell you something, my friend. Again and again, our God is a righteous God. He's a holy God. Not only a loving father, he's a consuming fire. If a nation trespass against God, yeah, we can see that, my friend. Violation of God's law. Abortion clinic full. Homosexuals. And people are cold, indifferent. Once upon a time, their religion is once upon a time religion. They have fire for God. What about now? The Bible says, if you are cold or warm, lukewarm, God will spew you out. God say, I got something against you. You lost your first love. I know you're all good people, okay? I'm preaching for somebody. You lost your first love. Christianity is all about love. Simon, you love me. The resurrected Savior asked the only question. Simon, you love me. If you love me, feed my lambs. You cannot love God without serving God. You cannot serve God without loving God. If you love him, you must serve him. I saw an outstanding husband in the whole world is Pastor Henry. Outstanding husband. Give a clap offering to the Lord. I see him, he loves his wife. So precious. I never seen a person like that. Love her, care for her, cherish her. The promise he gave on a wedding day, he's keeping it until today. My friend, that is love. That is love. You know, covenant is like a wedding. You know, when you come to the altar, I'll say, in life and death, in every situation. You know, there are times, you know, it happened like that. One husband and wife got married. Everything, what I have, is yours. The third day of the marriage, they're fighting for one comb. It's my comb and your comb. That went up to divorce. So they brought to pastor for counseling. Pastor said, you made a covenant with your wife. How can you do that? You know what he said? I didn't make the covenant. You made it. Only I said, I do. Everything what he said, I do. Not like that, my friend. When you say, I do, it's really you mean it. Yeah. You must love with all your heart. Then you feed lamb. The nation trespass against God. There will be pestilence, famine. I know in this country is famine. In this country, pestilence, plague, knives and beasts. You know what is knives and beasts? Terrorists. Sword. They're taking the gun for fun. Such a time like this, God is seeking for a person. A wonderful thing we hear here. God says in verse 14, if Noah there, Daniel there, Job there, I will save them. In this country, God wants to be a Noah in the generation. God wants to be another Daniel in the generation. God wanted to be Job in the generation. You know, I'll finish, Pastor. two minutes. I love Noah. You know, God told Noah, I found a righteous only for you make the ark. I love Noah. The ark is only for him, for his family. But he went to the street and preached a sermon, two-letter theology.
Zoology.
Two-letter theology. He didn't go to the Bible school to study homiletics and ethics. But he had two-letter theology. What is that? Repent, the rain will come. That's all he knew. You know how many years he preached? 120 years. Preached one sermon. There are times he pastor preached a second time. You say, oh, old sermon. But preach, Pastor Noah preached the same sermon for 120 years. He was faithful. Are you a Noah in this generation? They say Noah's time, but are you a Noah? I know you are in the ark, but you cannot enjoy the ark selfishly. You must go and tell it to the world. Tell it in the top of the mountain. There is a God. Save the people from their sin. Give them salvation. Give them deliverance. Give them happiness. Give them freedom. Give them miracle. Today is the day of salvation. You have to go and speak to the people. You know, God has given a power, too much power. America got the power. No, what power? Not nuclear power or money power to change the world, but the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Power of the Holy Spirit. You know how you can get the power? By prayer, intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. More power, more prayer, more power. Less prayer, less power. No prayer, no power. Yes, stand in the gap. Mm-hmm. Noah was there. Daniel, you opened the door. People are so scared. They are under be compromises, compromise anything what the people say. But be a man, uncompromised, stand for the truth. The whole world may come against you, stand for the truth. You can hear the roaring of the lion, but still open the door. His worship was not secret, my friend. Some people say, oh, God knows. People must also know. Mm-hmm. You are a worshiper. Mm-hmm. Worshiper. Open your mouth wide. Shout. Jump and dance. Let the walls of Jericho tumble down. Nothing in secret. Jesus died openly. You must worship him openly.
Amen. Job. Thank you. Give her a good round of applause. Thank you so much, sister.